Back to the Jeff Porch Show at FN Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. You want to be in touch with the program? You text me 251-343-0106. It'll come about an hour from now. Joshua McKee is one of the candidates running for the open, soon to be open, first congressional seat that would be vacated by Barry Moore, who is running for U.S. Senate. Joshua joins Jerry Carl and Rhett Marquez as the GOP candidates in that field. Not sure he's going to run on the Democrat side, if anybody. But anyway, Josh going to join us here in about an hour. Then in the 11 o'clock hour, the government shutdown looming, we'll talk to the Capitol Hill Bureau Chief up there in Washington, D.C. for Breitbart News, my colleague Bradley J., who, by the way, if you ever heard me talk about him, he is a native of Monroe County, Beatrice, I believe. But he'll make time for us in that 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now here at the Fairhope Bureau, she is my state representative, represents me in the State House up in Montgomery. Jennifer Fiddler is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
I am well. Doing well. What you been up to? Anything exciting?
Oh, all kind of exciting things. since I've talked to you last, I did make a little bit of a list. We attended the vigil, the Charlie Kirk vigil on the Fairhope Bluff, which was on the 17th. The 24th, we hosted a Back the Blue event, which we had all law enforcement in District 94. We had folks from Barmel, all our fire chief, responders, anybody that was public works folks, public works director, the utility superintendents, the mayor's Fairhope. We had about 80 that came and ate hot dogs and hamburgers, and the Alabama Forestry Association sponsored it. They were here cooking hot dogs. I came in from Montgomery and hosted that at the fire station. We did it out on Thompson Hall Road, knowing that the streets on Ingleside at that fire station was going to be demolished, and you and I were just talking about the streets being demolished everywhere.
Yeah, they're looking for buried treasure under Section Street. Yeah, that's the only end. The last 6 months it's been this way.
I'm glad I'm not the public works director here right now, because I probably would be having a heart attack. We never left any hole, you know, overnight. There were no, open holes before we left the city. And there's so many projects right now, it'd be hard to keep
up. So get off topic here. They are burying cable. One of the internet providers is, so you gotta dodge flagmen there. They're obviously putting in new piping or sewer infrastructure in all the streets, it seems like. They had been for months it was Church Street, and now it's moved to Section Street. Hopefully we'll get some new blacktop there. And then the other thing that drives me crazy right here recently, the traffic circle as you come into town on the north side. It's a new traffic circle. It used to be where Scenic 98, I guess the end of Highway 104, and then, the what is Section Street kind of all meet. They built a traffic circle there, so, it's where the clock and the flower beds and all that are. So it's just you're dodging all of these construction projects all at once.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot going on, that's for sure. But that traffic circle is going to be open soon. I mean, and that is the spot, just for everybody listening. When you're coming into town on Veterans Drive, you're going to hit a traffic circle. And originally, that was going to be the first traffic circle in this county. Back when I was a public works director, the plans changed. We weren't able to put that in, but we did plan for it when we put the clock, on the hillside there. We made sure there was enough room for that planned traffic circle. We had those plans, and they were able to use that and use the space, so that was kind of cool. But that is where the nature park is. We were able to do the ribbon cutting not too long ago. The commissioner of DCNR came down Chris Blankenship, and we opened it up, and it was a great event. So if you haven't been to that, y'all please go visit. It's beautiful.
If you could get to it, by the way.
You're going to be able to get to it.
You might need to get like a helicopter lift, but it's open, I hear.
And if just for you guys that, so you'll know if you do run into traffic issues or road closures, everything in the Fruit and Nut and a lot of this area is in grids. So just go around the block. Just go block over, hit the two or three other streets. You'll get, be able to get around it. They just kind of laid it out that way back then.
Well, I mean, that's what you did back then. But, it's nothing until you get to the next. Then you have to go to the next part of the grid and then the next. And there's always – it's all at once. I'm looking forward to it finally being completed. It's going to make my life a lot easier.
And then there are going to be those improvements on the streets that you had to go around. So
I just want to go to the grocery store without a, 10-minute detour.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Hey, one more thing. Another thing that I got on my list over here. You know, this next year, America is celebrating its 250th birthday.
Right.
Yeah, and they had the American Village had a ribbon cutting for Independence Hall last week. I wasn't able to go. Too much going on around here. But I'm so excited about that and be able to be serving where I am as state representative and be able to be a part of this important mark in history, you guys. So 250 years ago, they were working on it right now, 250 years ago. I mean, they're running around trying to declare that and get support for the whole movement there in Massachusetts and Boston. So just an important time in history, and I encourage all of us to take notice and take part in this important and just appreciate where we are in history.
You know, when I was born, brought into this world, it was the bicentennial.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here we are, 250. But I remember hearing a little bit about it, the 200th anniversary, when I was younger. And I obviously remember the quarters, right? The bicentennial quarters. Wonder if this will be anywhere. I mean, you know, because I remember the Statue of Liberty being its anniversary being a big deal. But 250, you know, makes you wonder, especially in the country now, we don't have the backdrop of the Cold War, and you have this sort of uber patriotism going on. It doesn't feel that way now.
Yeah, well, it's a special time, and I'm doing a couple things to kind of mark. We have community education funding. As you know, some of our listeners may not know, but all our legislators and senators are able to give out community education money. Some of the money that I like to give out will personally hit the students. I'm going to fund a civics bee for interested students in Baldwin County that will compete. I'm helping fund that, actually giving that check today. And just, I haven't announced it yet, so this may be the interesting spot. All your listeners will.
The civics bee?
Well, not that, but I'm going to fund all our fourth graders in the district to go to Montgomery or to the American Village, depending on what the teacher decides they want to do. So that trip costs every fourth grader $120 to $125. So, and a lot of students aren't able to go just because their family can't afford it. And if they do afford it, it hurts the family. They have to cut back somewhere else.
Here's a question for you. Wouldn't you want to wait till the new state house is open?
Why wait? We're celebrating our 250th.
I meant to go to the state house.
Well,
American Village.
I'm not going to wait. We are marking we're happy that we're celebrating our 250th, and this is going to start that mark of Happy Birthday America. We're 250 years in.
So, and well, let me ask you, big 250 anniversary celebration plans at the Alabama State House too?
Well, the American Village is where the all the official fireworks are going off. We've already had the tour of Raphael that came out and did all the exploring. We'd marked that last year, and actually while we were in session, came through. And Senator Orr, and there's a whole committee, Representative Pascal, they've been working on it statewide. You can go to, and I'm encouraging all our schools to be named a 250th, that long word I cannot, I have a hard time saying, but it's basically 250 years to celebrate that. You can actually, the schools can become involved and incorporate some of these lesson plans in their curriculum. So we're encouraging our schools. I've sent out a letter to all the schools. They've, well, in my in District 94, Fairhope, Magnolia Springs, you know, our area here. So, I have a lot of students in our area, about 700. I have one of the largest, we kind of looked at that countywide, and our students in this district, I have pretty much the most, along with Representative Givens. She and I have both the most students in our district. It's pretty interesting.
Big, big elementary school populations relative to the population of the district.
It is a, just like we got 700 plus over here, and she's got about 700 plus. So, and that's not including our private schools.
Yeah, a lot of private schools here, too.
We got a few, yeah. St. Michael's is right outside my district, or District 94. And, but, yeah, we have...
Well, but you, one would assume they live in the district, right?
Yes, sir.
They go to St. Michael's, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They do, you know, and any of those will help if they need. So I just want to make sure that all our fourth graders, that I mean, this is kind of a plan time that they're able to go in the curriculum, but a lot of schools, a lot of kids just can't afford it. I mean, it's expensive, $125, and if you've got three or four children, or two or three, or I don't care, one. I mean, all these, you know, trips.
If you're going to do a civics field trip in Alabama, Montgomery and American Village have to be at the top of the list.
It should be.
I don't know what else there is.
You know, I'm not sure how many of my fellow students got to go up there, quite truthfully, in Baldwin County when I was, I don't ever remember going up there. I never went up there. I know I didn't as a student.
Now look where you are today.
Well,
you can't get enough of it.
And I've said this before. The first time I walked through the State House steps, I had already been voted on in the primary. The very first time I opened that State House door and walked through it. In Montgomery. Now, I've been to the Capitol, and I was there during the governor's inauguration, her first one, because I was super proud and that, you know, she was elected. And I've been around and on the Capitol. I did all that, but not through the
State
House. Well,
it's not a remarkable structure at all. I guess the chambers, you know, it's kind of interesting to watch how y'all interact. It really is, if you haven't seen it, you go up there, and it's just worth just spending a couple hours. Go watch the House, go watch the Senate, and then let me know what your takeaway is there about our civic process in this state.
It looks like a lot of chaos, that's for sure.
It's funny because it does, like, if you spend a couple of days covering the Senate, and I work for a news outlet, 1819 News, but then you go down to the House and you watch you guys, it looks like someone kicked over an app mount. I mean, everybody's just kind of... But Senate is kind of in the House. There's always like you said, chaos.
Yeah, it's a lot of folks working on their individual bills, trying to gain support. You know, a bill may be coming into their committee the next day, so you're talking to them and making sure there's no issues. If they've read the bill, if they got any questions on the bill, there's a lot of that. And then somebody's having to cut. You're also listening to the dialogue on the floor. So there's a lot of. You're hearing what's happening, what the speaker's doing. You're glancing back and forth. You kind of know, like, the flow. And if something sounds off, everybody stops. It gets their attention. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts.
Then they move for the vote, and it's, like, instantaneous.
Yeah, everybody run back to the machines.
Then you hear the sound. I can hear it in my head. I guess you hear it in your dreams. But
Well, you know how you feel on a bill before it comes up, and if there's any issues, and then the people that may have issues are up there debating, and if there's, you kind of know, like, if that's going to be valid or not, and you're listening.
If it gets to that point in the process, if it's on the floor, if it's on the rules calendar, y'all know the vote. Which way it's going to go?
If it gets, well, we've tried to do a lot of work on the bill before, yes, it gets to the rules. Because your rules chairman are, you know, they're looking at those bills and making sure it's things.
I've talked about it in caucus. And that's just the thing, you talk about it in caucus, and right, it kind of...
If it's controversial or if it's something that we need to make sure we're good on, you know, the caucus is aware of it. And we have had discussions, hard discussions, which all of that is confidential, you know, these hard discussions that we have in caucus and how we, you know, the debate and the details of that debate on the inside so we can make sure that we're good with it as a body. If it's, you know, part of that Republican, our platform.
No, it's not like you're blindsided to, well, I mean, have you been, I mean, in your tenure there, been blindsided by something that got to the floor and didn't know what was going to happen?
I mean, there's things that get up there because, like, I may not have had time to read a few, you know, a bill, and I did not realize it was getting to the, you know, on the floor, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hadn't had time to read this bill, and, you know, here it is, and I've got some questions on it, and I haven't had time to, you know, really dissect that, make sure my people are okay with, I didn't touch back, you know, with our mayor at the city, or, you know, I'm not sure they'd be good with this. How do they stand on it? So there has been a, you know, some things that I was like, I can't vote on this right now because I just don't feel comfortable with it right now. But most things that you're looking at the calendar. So the calendar has come out late. And so those are times that when, you know, I hadn't had time to digest those, the bills on the calendar. That calendar comes out late. I say I'm looking for that calendar as soon as it comes out. The special order, we have a regular order. This is kind of confusing. But we have a regular order calendar that we keep right on the first couple of days of session. And then the special order calendar is made up every week. And so the rules committee meets. And then they, the rules chairman, presents the special order calendar the morning of the session to us to ratify that this is what we're going to be voting on today. And that can be debated. So that is when sometimes you'll hear the other party come up and debate. We see the bills, you know, we're going to see those bills, though, the day before it's all sent out and we're able to study those.
Let's work at a quick break here. We got State Representative Jennifer Fidler with us. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 56 minutes after the hour on this Monday morning. State Representative Jennifer Fidler still with us for just a few more minutes. What are you looking at? A little bit of chatter out there. It's starting to pick up, I've noticed, what the 2026 session looks like. And, you know, we know it'll be shorter and less controversial, but have you got anything on your mind that needs to be done between now and signy die?
I do. I am working on a few things, but and I'll end up announcing them, but not ready to on my end right here, right now. Representative Givens had a great bill, I thought, that increased penalties for assaulting lawmakers.
Oh, yeah, after the Baymanette incident. Yeah, consider Elliot come on and talk about that, too. That's kind of crazy that you got to pass a law for that.
Well, it's just increasing the penalties.
There's a law for it, but I guess, yes, heighten the penalties.
The penalties are heightened. It's going to be a misdemeanor, a higher level misdemeanor is a felony if you do other things. So there is, I read through that law. I can't repeat it all right now, but I listened to the press release last week. I think that's something at this time.
What about
a good time to do something like that?
Have you heard from any of your constituents about high school athletics and what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I followed that now. And I agree with, you know, the governor and
So I saw the speaker about it a couple of weeks ago, and he's just, I mean, it's just, it's incredible to me just how flippant that is, they are about it. And there's like, okay, I mean, you know, you agree or disagree with what the CHOOSE Act does. There are like, you know, four or five other remedies other than just, well, we're just going to ignore what you guys have to say.
Yeah, that probably, they just probably need to think about it for a little while and talk to their attorneys.
Bad advice or something? I don't know, because like, get the High School Athletic Association could take in y'all to court, but you know, it's strange to me the way they're going about it. And
they probably just need to get another attorney's opinion.
It's going to happen. Y'all are going to do something at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, you poked the bear too many times. Well, Representative, we appreciate you coming by. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
State Representative Jennifer Fiddler there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This heart of mine, I keep my eyes wide open.